Hey everyone, this is episode 232, and this episode marks the return from a one-week hiatus in which I was out on the West Coast, which you'll hear about during the episode, but it's also the return of three of us hosting, which is Just Bender and Bombcast Jay and myself. No Flop, no Badger. We talk at length about the Badger in here. We don't really talk about the Flop. We just know that she hates us now. That said, we do have a little bit of that West Coast talk, and then we dive into a lot of different topics on pop culture, which we tend to do. And I drink bourbon while they drink some beer, and that's pretty much the whole thing. I hope you enjoy it. We have some good laughs. I think it's a good time. So just listen for yourself, and then you be the judge. And you can do that here in 1 second. Now. I'm going to question your math a little bit. $3,000 worth of beer does not translate into a million other beers.
I'm one to exaggerate.
I would buy into reversing that. You could get 3,000 beers out of $1 million.
Yeah, for sure. And that's probably what it is. Here, I could show you a couple pictures of something.
No, I'll get us some pint glasses then if we're going to split this real quick.
It is, I'll let you guys just drink it. It's not bad.
It doesn't sound like a rousing endorsement. I'm not going to lie to you.
Green apple sour beer.
Oh.
This was the first night, first run, and then...
This is Michael?
Yeah, that's the second.
Is he driving?
Yeah, he's driving home tonight. He'll be at my house at 3 a.m.
Tonight?
Yeah.
This is the JD version of a beer. JD from Scrubs. This is the his character because he always drank apple teenies.
Yeah, that is right.
Yeah,
we watched his Family Feud tonight.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Was Turk on it?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was their podcast versus Neil Flynn's stand-up group.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, before he died, right? Or wait,
no,
Neil Flynn. Okay, yeah.
The lawyer died.
The lawyer died. I forget his name, but awesome guy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check it in. Well, we're gonna. I guess a lot. All that little Bender aside could be the cold open because I'm just gonna go ahead and say we are back. We're back from a 1 week hiatus. I'm back from San Diego, and we're back in the pop culture world, and we have a metric shit ton of pop culture to cover. I think for the most part, this whole episode is going to be kind of a throw it to Missy episode.
Okay.
I do want to start with some thoughts on San Diego. A couple of questions I have for you, and then just a couple of musings. But as I do that, go ahead and tell them who's here with me, and I'm going to drink this beer.
Bender's here. That's the sour. That's the sour of this beer. Like, we're going back up.
That was Johnny choked up over there.
Was that a cough or a burp? Or?
That was the wrong pipe.
Wait a minute. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that is the beer drinking equivalent to being a pussy when it comes to Puff Puff Give on a joint.
For sure.
So, Bombcast Jay's here.
Yeah. That's not cough worthy bad, but it is not great.
No, it just... Like a little bit of bile set right there at the end of my throat.
What it is, it's a warhead.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a green apple Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, just a little bit more of a kick. Kind of like a pussy version of a warhead.
Yeah.
Are we still allowed to say that? I don't know if that's...
I think that's all right.
Yeah,
the can's cool, though. This green with evil. It's the Power Rangers can. It's pretty sweet.
Well, speaking of sweet things, I said we were going to lead in with the San Diego stuff, so I want to start with the West Coast. Jay asked, like, how was the vacation? Vacation was awesome. We had a great time. Before I get into vacation, I do want to bitch about St. Louis because we left, and it was blazingly hot at 100 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got back, it was a downpour that kept us on the tarmac for almost 40 minutes because lightning strikes would not let the crew come out and get us off the plane. So
nice.
It's like, welcome back to St. Louis, where you leave in a sauna and come home in a downpour. Yeah. I wouldn't have been surprised if there was snow on the ground when I got back.
Yeah.
But the entire time we were in San Diego, with the exception of a slight rain, it maintained about a 72 to 75 degree range. Now, we drove up to L.A., which I'll get to in a bit, and that was a nice warm 85. And then at one point, we drove over to Idlewild Mountain, which was almost, if I jumped off a rock really good, I would have been 6,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, wow.
And that was about 100 degrees. And that was super hot. And I don't think Missy anticipated the hike because we made it about 1.5 miles and she was a huffing and puffing. And I was winded too. Mm-hmm. But she's like, I knew that oxygen deprivation was going to be a thing, but fuck around. Yeah. It took its toll on all three of the ladies.
Yeah.
But between all that, I did want to call out that this time Missy and I had 27 brand new beers, which maybe we're getting older because when we were 41, we had around 36 brand new beers at the time. So we are 2 years older. We've scaled back how many brand new beers. And I think what happened too is we went to extra breweries last time where
we had four less a piece. That's not that bad.
No. I mean each. I had 27. We had 27 each.
Oh.
Yeah. I had, and last year, so we had 54 combined brand new beers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 27 unique beers.
Wait, you guys don't try the same ones together?
Yeah, but it's not four less each. It's 10
less. I thought you each had checked in the same exact
We did,
beer.
But your math still doesn't work.
Okay.
You said you had, that's just four less each. No, it's still the same amount, less than 36. It's nine less unique beers.
Yeah, nine less unique beers. That's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not what you said.
Yeah.
But we did have a good time. We went to Mike Hess Brewing. We went to Ketch, which we were at last time. We didn't. The only sad thing about the beer that we didn't get to is because, you know, we got to keep the kids happy. Mm. And we drove a lot of places, but we didn't drive a lot downtown San Diego. So a lot of things were either walking or Uber. When you're doing that, you got to go somewhere where the kids have a destination. They can't just walk to a brewery.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to hit any of the really cool breweries I saw when we were out driving around. We just got to the most easily accessible breweries.
Yeah.
Now, that Mike Hess was real cool because it was in Seaport, the tasting room, and it was $19 for the flight of five, and you got a little poker chip. And when you were done, you take the poker chip, and you could redeem it for a pint glass. So I got two free pint glass. Well, not free. I paid for them, but you got to pick it. You had to pick.
That's
so
pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean that's. I felt like $19 was about $5-6 extra for a flight, but I also got a pint glass, so it all made sense.
Yeah.
If they would have said T-shirt or pint glass, I'd been like, this is a fucking hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You usually pay at least $3 for a pint glass, anyways.
Well, yeah. Well, most of the time it's $10.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's $10.
Yeah.
Well, and when I bought the flight, I then inquired, hey, how do you guys sell these pint glasses? She goes, well, you redeem your chip for a pint glass. So it was a welcome. I was more than happy with $19. I just thought, California.
Yeah.
But the beer scene out there, still awesome. We did go see a Padres game. The only thoughts I want to bring up, and it's one question I'm going to pose to you, Jay, because you're more.
I don't give a fuck about that.
Well, you're more in the know. Well, first off, Petco Park's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's fucking stunning.
It looks cool.
It's the second best park, I think, visually I've been to, with the first being PNC in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But both are stunning for equal reasons. The view, the city skyline in the background is awesome. Plus, the way you get in Petco's cool. You just walk into the neighborhood, and you're almost in the park.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's gates literally a block out. And there's bars and stuff inside if you get tickets. So if you get standing room only tickets, you don't have to go to the game. You got access to bars that have big screen TVs watching the game.
That's cool.
So it's pretty solid. The other note about that is my girls, my oldest and youngest, neither wanted to leave the game early. They wanted to stay through the entirety of the game.
Right.
Kaylin is now, she thinks Tatis Jr. is super hot. She thinks he's a super good ball player, which he is.
Yeah.
And she said, and I said this, I've made this note on here, out of the mouth of babes, both my daughters say, since the Cardinals are having just a colossally shitty year, we made just for this year root for the Padres. And I'm like, that tracks. Yeah. Like, that's okay. Yeah. But an interesting play came up, actually the next day. And I wanted to ask you about this, Jay, because it's one of these quirky things about baseball. They had the extreme shift on, and when they shift, they take Manny Machado off of third, and they put him in short right center.
Yeah.
Right field, short right field.
Yeah.
A ground ball went over the infield, one hopped on a great play to Machado, and he threw him out at first.
Yeah.
How do you score that?
God,
I just stopped listening.
I know.
I think it's still
5-4 or 5-3, which that makes no sense. So if you look at the record book, you say, oh, that guy grounded out to third base. But he didn't. He grounded out to right field. Like, it's a dumb thing that that. But that's why they, it's one of the many reasons they should stop allowing the shift. You should only be allowed to shift one time a game.
Yeah, I don't mind the shift, but yeah, for scorekeeping purposes, they have to put something in there, I think.
The only reason I don't. I'll let him go ahead.
Who cares about that besides you guys, though? Like the average fan who doesn't give it.
No, the average fan, baseball people can't stand the shift.
Yeah. The old school baseball. The old school.
Here's the problem.
So nobody.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. The argument against hating on the shift or banning the shift is there is some people that say, well, if you do it a lot, it does slow down. And we're talking about adding a minute to a game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing that will stop the shift. If baseball players learn to hit again.
Yeah.
I mean, we have on the Cardinals, Matt Carpenter, who is historically the worst batter in the history of baseball at hitting when the shift is on. He's like 170-something.
Yeah.
One time he had a bunt on the shift, and he got a double out of it because there's no one over there.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't consistently bunt. I watched a great video from my time hop thing on Facebook. It was Tony Gwynn versus Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
And it was Randy Johnson got him 0-2, and then Gwynn worked foul ball, and then threw the most disgusting breakaway slider out of the zone, and Tony Gwynn reached all the way across the plate and roped it into left field for a double. And I'm like, now that's the extreme.
Yeah.
But if hitters just learn to hit.
Yeah, because there's not a single hitter today that could probably do that.
No. There's no one that would even, I mean, it's just, it's hit down, elevate, all or nothing.
Yep.
It's just, it's awful. And you're going to keep getting the shift. But I was unaware until the announcers, we were sitting at this really awesome kind of Shamrock's downtown San Diego, mm-hmm. little Henry's Irish pub. Mm-hmm. And it's the feel, kind of the ambiance inside kind of felt the same. They suckered me into buying some Templeton rye because I just had a great experience the day before at the Padres game, and they had this big poster on the door that said Templeton rye, and it had the little swinging Padre on it.
Yeah.
Swinging friar, and it said the official whiskey of the San Diego Padres. And I walked in, I go, well, fuck, I got to have the official whiskey. I'm a sucker for bullshit like that.
Well, you had the beer the day before.
I had slightly different one.
Yeah, I had the Friars L and I had the 394 at the ballpark. Both amazing. We've had the 394 here.
Yeah.
Which I say drink yours. Tom's never coming back. I had a little text message with him today. He's just never coming back.
I talked to him yesterday. He can't do Mondays for a while.
He said he to me.
Probably do some weekends.
Well, he said, and we could do a Sunday. We could make a Sunday.
I can do a Sunday. Easy.
Yeah, we can make Sunday work. Sundays have kind of lightened up now that soccer's done. And I could switch this whole thing to Sunday. But here's the deal. He's still not going to make it. Because think about this. He says he can do a Sunday. And Tom, if you're listening to this, you can text me and argue with me. He says he can do a Sunday, right? He's traveling so much. Do you think that in his 1 or 2 day home a week, Kelly's going to let him out of that?
I think he's anticipating slowing down next month. He says Nashville or something.
He said they're in the process of hiring, so fall should lighten him up. Yeah. He should lighten up in fall.
As he's going to make the money when you can make it, though.
That's what he says. Yeah, and he's not going to be able to attend this weekend.
He's going to
a wedding for one time guest of this show. And man, I can't believe I'm blanking on the guy's name, but he was the hockey analyst or play-by-play man.
Yeah.
It's that dude?
Yeah, he's getting married.
And it's black tie.
Which he cussed about. He goes, which is going to cost me a grand.
Well, that's what I said. We were talking last night, and this is way off topic, but we were talking last night, and I go, that's like the shittiest thing. Like, you got to go out of town for somebody's wedding on a extended weekend. Like, he stole your whole weekend. He goes, yeah, it's a real trifecta because it's also black tie. So I had to spend an extra money on a new suit.
And then he said he had to buy Kelly a new dress because he goes, now if she would have just had a bridesmaid dress, you could truly be like that movie and say, you know, you really can use the dress.
Yeah.
But he goes, we couldn't. So I'm just partially giving him crap. I know he would like to come back, but at this point, I don't know that we'll ever see Tom again.
Yeah.
Last thing about my West Coast trip, and it's my observations about San Diego. San Diego was super cool in a sense. It was cool to go to the Hollywood sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was cool. We got some great pics. We didn't really do a lot of scenery, although if you just drive through L.A., you go through famous streets and you see famous things. We went to one specific store, and Tyler, the creator, who Kalen loves his music.
Really? I just can't get it.
Dude, we're old.
I feel old when I listen to it.
But here's the thing. He has a store called Golf Wang, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I kept calling it golf swag, and they made fun of me, and they called me a boomer. But we went in. So we get there right as they open, and there's this giant security guard. And he feels like he's 8 inches taller than me and 3 feet wider. He's not. He probably was even shorter, but he felt like a giant. Yeah. And, you know, he's got a gun, and he's a security guy. And he goes, "You guys got an appointment?" And I go, "Appointment? No." "The fuck are you talking about?" He goes, and he looks inside, and he looks, and he goes, "You guys can come in, but you got to put your mask on." So, and I'll close on the whole trip with masks. So we put our masks on. We go inside. You're not allowed to touch any of the shirts because they have them displayed where you can see them. And then you just tell them, and they have it at the counter for you when you're ready to go. There's this little miniature.
How do you know if it fits?
All sales are final, bro. That's what it says. Big old sign. They will unfold them for you at the cap, but you cannot touch them. But that was half of the store, and it's very bougie kind of you at a store you'd expect in L.A. And then on the other end is like this little skateboard pool, like a miniature skate pool.
Okay.
And he has skateboard and his little scooters, and it was roped off. But I guess sometimes people come in there and skate while people are shopping. Like that's a weekend thing. I guess the appointment thing rung a little true because as we left, we went back to her car by CBS Studios, which was kind of cool. I took a picture of that. Mm-hmm. We went back to her car. We're really hungry, so I'm like, we're just going to go down here. And I think I found, because we accidentally just stumbled onto a little. Oh, Missy had to use the bathroom, so we went to the World Market. We're at the World Market, and I look around the corner. I go, I think this is a mall. And it is a. It was a mall in a sense that it had a lot of name brand stores, and it was kind of cool. We went to the Nike store there, and it was awesome. I got me a Zion Williams shirt. It's a cool shirt. And then we had another brewery there.
Yeah.
And it was very, very L.A. feeling, like the whole feel. Like, I dug it because it felt like I was in L.A. I felt like I was on a TV show or a movie.
Yeah.
But so as we were leaving, we're going to drive up to the Hollywood sign. You have to go right down. Essentially, we went up from where we were up to Melrose and drove down Melrose. But as we drove back by the Gulf Wang store, 40 people in line outside at the, and they have a little fucking velvet rope up for your appointment. I was like,
"Cool, I guess."
All right, hang on. Oh, by the way, he was one of two giant fucking security guards with guns that was working this store. I was like, I guess if you're in the heart of L.A., which is going to bring me to my last observation about L.A., with all the things that are cool about L.A., we almost died leaving the little park where we looked at the Hollywood sign because the road was barely big enough for one car and the cars parked on the side. Mm. It was constantly downhill and twisty and turny. And if someone, which they did, comes the other direction and they're like used to driving it, they may kill you.
Yeah.
So it was, I've not been this worried in a car in a long time. I was like, this fucking sucks. But that was even cool.
Yeah.
Because you don't see that kind of neighborhood. But all of the coolness aside, L.A. might be the dirtiest place in the world.
That's what I've always heard.
The dirtiest place. I was like, my daughters were like, we want to come back and like spend a couple days. And there's a part of me that says, yes, I do too, because I want to go see some more cool. I want to go to La Brea Tar Pits. Mm. Yeah. I want to go to Hollywood and Vine just to say I'm on Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah.
But as a whole, beautiful, weather amazing, giant shithole, giant, warm, overpriced. Celebrity. Oh, we did see a TikToker. My daughters were walking and they go, it was hilarious too, because they go, that's a famous TikToker.
Which one?
I go, oh, what's his name? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, then how is he famous? Yeah. So they pulled him up when they got back in the car, and I'll be damned if he did not post on Instagram and TikTok, and it was the same fucking dude, and he was wearing the same clothes. 2.6 million followers. Oh, I'm like,
guess he's famous.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it is a famous TikToker. So, and they're like, and then they both, of course, started following him and laughing. He's hilarious. And I'm like, he's not so fucking funny. You don't even know his name.
Yeah.
But
you would have liked him from the beginning if you would have.
Yeah. The whole trip it was cool. I'll say this to close on it, and then we'll jump into the giant throw it to Missy segment because I figure we all have a lot of pop culture stuff, and I imagine there's going to be some crossover. Is, you know, it was the first. One of the reasons we booked this trip is because we knew we're still in COVID world.
You're supposed to do Disney, weren't you?
But that was last year, and that got canceled because of COVID. But and this trip was almost entirely paid for by the Disney refund. So
that's what I figured,
and then some. You know, and then I got some money back. But we wanted to go out somewhere still away from town. But when we booked it, on the off chance COVID was still a big hamper on your trip, we knew we could go there and find places to have fun, like between the beach and stuff like that. So when we got out there, San Diego is just like St. Charles County. St. Louis still has a little bit of, you know, pain in the buttness to it here and there. But everywhere, no masks outside. Everywhere we went, if you were vaccinated, you didn't need a mask, even in the hotel and the resort. So it was pretty normal from what you're accustomed to here. L.A., not so much. It's no matter what, mask in every building that you go into. Yeah. The only place you don't have to wear it is outside.
Really?
And even then, we saw a lot of people with masks outside.
Yeah, we the week before you went, we were in Texas. We went to South Padre Island with some friends, and that was cool. It was. You ever been to Gulf Shores?
No. Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah.
It's. I don't know what I was expecting of South Padre. I thought it'd be fancier. It's just not fancy. It's on the border of Texas and Mexico.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be a little more high end. It's not. It's not like
touristy.
A college town. It's not even touristy. It's like 50-year-old I got divorced destination. Like women. Like just fucking drunk old ladies.
Saw some
everywhere.
Cougars.
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of cougars.
I guess since Missy's not down here, I should weigh in. One thing I did see a lot of between San Diego and L.A. It's unbelievably quality scenery. Just smoke shows everywhere.
That's the thing. Like, I thought I was going to see, like, decent stuff. Nothing. Like, not a single girl. The girls that we brought to Texas were better looking. Our wives that we all brought were way better looking than the local talent that was there. Which, I wasn't there for that. But it is nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just, when you go to L.A. or the coast or to the beach like in Texas, you expect a certain amount of what you see on the TV.
Yeah.
We did see that.
Yeah, we did not. I mean, I had fun. I
also saw amazingly ripped dudes everywhere you went. Just like.
Nope, not that either.
Dude, you're wearing the wrong size shirt, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, I take that back. There was, I guess, some sort of lifeguard training going on the beach.
Was
one
it like?
Day.
Was it look like? Did they all run in slow motion?
Yes. Yes. And like, it's like, so there's all these dudes and they're like young and like have 0% body fat. And I was like, I mean, I'm not gay, but if he wanted to make out, I think I'd have to say yes. Like every one of them, like one after the other. And I like Rachel and the girls are sitting there and I was like, there you go, girls.
Bender said, I'm not gay, but I've also learned in life to never close off options.
Yeah. Just don't say no. I'm not going to make out with anybody this good looking ever again.
Yeah.
So, no. And then the girls came through and they were pretty fit. But yeah, that was about it. Threw up in the ocean.
You were that drunk.
Combination.
Of being that drunk and also drunk?
Being that drunk in the waves, and then the guy in front of me threw up, which just created a chain reaction.
I bet, though, if you remove drunk from the equation, you don't throw up in
that
situation.
100%. Yeah. So we basically hit the ground and had a 3-hour layover in Houston on Saturday. Started drinking in Houston.
I had a good beer and great pizza in Houston Airport when we came back from Jamaica. And after eating the awful fucking resort food in Jamaica, it tasted like the greatest pizza I ever had in Houston.
Airport food in Houston's pretty solid.
I liked it. I liked it.
We ate at two different restaurants there, and both of them were better than every place that we ate in South Padre.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Disappointing, right?
It is disappointing.
Yeah. But anyways.
Good thing you had fun, though.
Yeah. And like it was just hot as shit. The beer was not cold. I drank so much vodka that I blacked out.
Oh.
That was fun.
That's also, that story tracks for you.
Yeah. So did Rachel. It was fun, though. We had a nice house.
So that was my vacation. You had your vacation. And Jay has rescheduled his vacation to around our softball.
Yeah.
There you go, buddy.
Pushed it on a couple days.
Yeah. Which is, it's awesome that you can do it. You're driving, obviously.
No, we're flying.
Oh.
They were just able to push our flight for us. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That is dedication. That's why she got a souvenir back from San Diego.
Yeah.
And no one else I know.
Yeah.
No.
The one good beer I did have down there. I did go to the brewery itself.
I threw it up in the sea.
No, Crawford Bock.
No, that was the
pretty
name.
Solid.
Crawford Bock. I like Bocks.
It's a real solid beer, and it has the Houston Astros colors. I guess I assume it's around there somewhere. It's a solid beer. I meant to bring some home. And
does it make noise when you drink it, letting everyone know what kind of
sign it's
pour you're doing
sinus
or something?
Doing, yeah,
little bang on
not.
The can.
Bad Astro cheating joke. Well, that's great, but I know that the reason people tune into this podcast is one, they do like to hear our drunk stories and drink about beer we drink, but they don't necessarily want to hear about vacation, but they do want to hear about, oddly enough, our takes on pop culture. And
There's a lot of things to talk about. In fact, as I typed this out, you could see my notes. I had to add more stuff to the Throw It to Missy segment. So I was like, well, fuck it. We'll just do a giant Throw It to Missy segment. So I'll start with you, Jay. What's first thing on your list?
Well, let's jump right in with Loki.
All right. Loki is one thing.
Are you all caught up?
I'm all caught up.
I'm one episode behind.
Three episodes, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all caught up as well. I watched one morning when none of the kids, or Wednesday morning when the ladies didn't wake up. The time change out there gets you.
Yeah.
Well, first off, let's speak in vagueness about the episode three, but I'll ask you, Jay. Three episodes in, last time we talked about it was before episode two.
Right.
Day before. So what's your thoughts so far?
I'm liking it. Probably not as much as the other two shows before it. It's probably just because it's three episodes and this last one wasn't the best of the three, but I'm hopeful it's going to be a lot better because every time there was a down episode in one of the other two series, the next couple episodes really picked it up.
So I think it's six total, right?
Yeah.
And apparently four and five, according to Kevin Feige and everybody else, four and five are supposed to be off the walls.
Yeah. I heard the same thing.
I haven't watched three, but I'm digging and I think it's pretty good. It's a slow burn.
Yeah.
It's even slower burn than I would say Falcon and Winter Soldier almost.
Yeah. You know? I would agree with that.
I do like what they're doing with Loki as a character, and Owen Wilson is spectacular.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson is spectacular, yeah, isn't it?
Them two chewing up scenery together is great.
And that is the star of the show. Hold on. Go, Lou. Yeah. Go with her. But I did want to weigh in a little bit on what they're doing with Loki as a character. Everything in terms of his dialogue, his actions, I dig. The action scenes, I have a giant problem with.
There haven't really been many, though.
You haven't watched the third one.
Yeah.
And so I'm only speaking in, I'm vague booking on you here.
It's all right.
Loki can fight Thor.
Yeah.
He's got strength.
Yeah.
He's fighting regular people, which, sorry for the spoiler, we find out that they're regular people.
Mm.
And they survive his punches, and they punch back. I don't get it.
Yeah, because, he's a guy that's gone toe-to-toe with Thor, but he's like, he gets drunk.
Drunk I like.
Yeah, I do too, but you see Thor sitting there, and he'll drink nonstop, and nothing happens to
him.
Except for maybe getting fat, but...
Yeah.
No, was he inside of the time room?
No, that's the problem.
Okay. Because he's depowered, isn't he?
Well, no, he's de-magic. Yeah, not D-strength. He's still a frost fucking giant.
I think you could make that argument, but
that's a bad one.
They've played a lot with what his power set is in this, I think.
Yeah, they really have. They've added things. They've taken away things. She has different powers than he does. Things like that. Yeah. So he's seen the second episode, so that's not a spoiler.
Yeah, no, it's not a spoiler. It's fine. You guys are fine. I
really have a problem with the misproportion. Look at all three of these. There was some misproportion use of some strength when in terms of, for instance, Falcon's ability to fight some of these super soldiers.
Yeah.
The only...
That shit was dumb luck, man.
The only power discrepancy that they went swung in the other direction is WandaVision. Wanda was overpowered. Like, they really ramped her up, which is okay, too, because in the comics they've done that.
Yeah.
But it's like the inconsistency at which, it'd be like, for me, it would be like if Peter Parker was here, him having trouble with, a room full of thugs.
Yeah.
It should be no problem. Should be a whip one, swing him around, and knock them all out.
And it'd be different with Peter because he wouldn't want to kill anybody.
Loki doesn't care. Yeah. So that's my only real problem. I enjoy it. The pacing's not slow, but it's also not fast. It's kind of up and down. I actually enjoyed the third episode a lot.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to get past that. The only reason I can is because of Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston. They're just so fucking good.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of people are putting a lot of... They do this with every show.
Every Marvel show in particular.
Every Marvel show. They're like, this means this and this means that. I kind of think at the end it's going to be... Like, everybody thinks and theorizes that Owen Wilson's boss, Mephisto's boss, is like...
Did you say Mephisto?
Or what's his name?
Mobius.
Mobius. Yes, sorry. I didn't mean Memphis. Mobius' boss is actually pulling all the strings, and the time gods or timekeepers or whatever actually are dead.
Yeah, we're going to get a swerve on that.
Yeah, but I'm like, that's kind of stupid, though. But
it'd be good if... I don't think the true villain of this show is Lady Loki.
No.
No.
And she's not a Loki.
No, I don't think she is.
I don't think she is.
She doesn't have dark hair. You got to have
I know. They can swap some things. But so that was one other complaint I have about it. And Jay, we're going to let you... sound off here in a second, is in the comics. I know it's like when Bugs Bunny puts on the lipstick, but Lady Loki in the comics is smoking hot, and it makes you feel awkward. And not that this girl's certainly an attractive woman, but we're like you got to be like something else to pull off Lady Loki from the comic book into the show.
Yeah, and like you said, I don't think it's her. I think they hinted to who it was in the episode with a certain line, but...
I didn't catch it if it was. I haven't read anything about it. I like going and seeing the Easter eggs, so I'm just not there.
Yeah. Well, based off the name alone, it ties to a different character.
Okay.
So I'm reading the Loki comics right now, the Agents of Asgard stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It ties in a little bit to that.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say the same thing. And he does stab Thor in that.
Yeah.
Because Thor's possessed or whatever, and he tricks him and stabs him. It's a pretty good scene. Everybody's like, what the fuck? Like, right in front of the Avengers. Good stuff.
Yeah.
But, I think it's okay. It's fine. I got no real complaints. It's not changing my life, and that's the reason I haven't watched the third episode, because I'm enjoying it, but I don't feel the need to, like, watch it right away. It's not The Mandalorian for me.
So, on the last episode that we actually did, I compared the first episode to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And we made the correlation to Metropolis.
Yep.
The third episode is a Doctor Who episode.
Yes, it is.
It is a Doctor Who episode through and through, and that's what I loved about it.
I like how weird it is. I enjoy like the weirdness of it and like the bouncing around, and I like how they, you know, the Infinity Stones are paperweights and all that stuff. Yeah. I really think that's pretty cool. But otherwise, I don't know. I'm sure it'll end fine.
I mean, so how many episodes is this?
Six.
Six. So we're at the halfway point for me and you.
Yeah.
Bender, we'll hold off on you, and once we all catch
like
up.
I said, you guys are fine.
I mean, on a rating. Let's at the midway point, at the all-star break, so to speak.
Yeah.
What's your rating for it?
I mean, I'd still give it a four. It's a good
series. I'm a four on it, too. I mean, so far, they're all four and above.
Yeah.
And you're doing okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Well, that's pretty good. The let's see, where's Loki? Oh, I'm gonna take us to another spot. And Bender, I don't know where you are on it, but Mythic Quest, the season finale.
Oh, I'm not there.
Or is it series finale?
Oh, really?
I'm a couple episodes behind.
Oh my god! God, you guys are killing me. Yeah. Can't talk about it.
Well, if you would like send out a text like, "Hey, I would like to talk about this," I would catch up.
Well, I just assume with the nerd cred that you guys have. You are caught up, considering it was last Friday.
I was on vacation.
I was on, but we were on a break. Okay, yeah. Ross. Well, here's the deal. Here's all I will say. It is either a very good season finale,
mm-hmm.
or it's an unbelievably good series finale.
It's not. I think it's coming back for a season.
They haven't announced yet.
Really?
He's got that same deal that he has with It's Always Sunny.
He can do it if he wants.
If he wants to make it, and they're willing to let him, he'll make it.
Yeah.
But he has not said yet. I do want to. That's all I'm going to say about it, because I, as a whole, I'm even going to hold off on my rating because I want you guys to talk about it. Because the only thing I will say, I think season two has been better than season one, and season one was fucking great. So okay. I want to hear your thoughts. So
I think I'm only three episodes in. I just watched the one where she gives the women empowerment speech, and she kind of burns. Burns them both.
It's, yeah, you know. And it was his own reverse mind game the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's good stuff.
We totally. Did you ever see Get Him to the Greek?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
That it was reminded me of that scene, only not as extreme as when P. Diddy gets him motivated to get on the plane, and because he acts like he's tripping on drugs, and they're licking the shag wall, and when he chases him out screaming, and he gets in a cab, he turns, he goes, mind fuck the shit out of him. And he walks off. That reminded me of that scene. So you're not far back. I mean, there's only, it's nine episodes is the only
one. I'm not far.
So finish it before we can all, even if you can't make next week or what have you. Next week, you know what? I may end up, so Big D's in town. Flash forward to another topic. Big D's in town this week. I may do an episode with him just because he'll be here.
Yeah.
If you can come over and do one, great. I'll send out when we're doing it. We'll be drinking. But since Monday's you know, a hangover day because everybody's off that day.
Mm-hmm.
We probably just won't record one that day. So we'll try to get it done on like maybe a Saturday or, and we'll, you know, we won't get too loud on that, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, she hasn't known anything about it yet. Oh, so, yeah. So we won't do an episode this Monday, a regular episode. We may have a special guest episode, but the next week,
okay,
we'll do one and have Mythic Quest shut caught up because you guys are gonna. I mean, you watched the flashback episode,
yeah,
and we talked about it on here the retro. It reminded me of James Robinson's Time Pass.
There's another
story.
Flashback,
yeah.
Yeah, with CW, the writer.
Yeah. I saw the clip of
the,
it. Yeah.
The flashback episodes are so well done in season one with the game company and season mm-hmm. two with this that it reminds me of James Robinson when he did Time's Past stories in Starman.
Yeah.
They're just beautiful stories. Mm-hmm. And the payoff is so well worth it in this show.
Yeah, the payoff where they bring it back. Like, that episode, I was like, this is a good episode, but I don't know what the fuck the point is.
And then the next
three episodes down, it's like, oh, that was the point.
What a setup. And I read an interview after, because I had to go online and see if it was coming back, and that's where, and he talked about how successful and how much he loves It's Always Sunny, but he also got into why this is his favorite thing he's done because it's his.
Yeah.
It's personal because he's.
I think Charlie writes on it, though.
Yeah, they get help. But it's all. He's the creative director, Rob is. But man, those guys are fucking brilliant.
They are.
Yeah. So Bender, we'll let you pick the next topic.
The other show that I've been watching on there is Central Park.
I haven't watched that yet.
Mm. And I didn't watch it either, but it got a season two, and I was like, I'm going to give this a shot, because it's one of the creators is the creator of Bob's Burgers, and I love it. The art is the exact same. The whole show is a musical about Central Park, and like about the parks director of Central Park, and like Josh Gad is like the narrator of the whole thing.
Very talented guy.
Mm. Yes. And it's spectacular. The stakes are real low. It doesn't really matter. Like, Stanley Tucci's in it. He plays like a little old woman. Like Kristen Bell. The voice cast is fucking. Her name from WandaVision is the mom.
Oh yeah. The bad girl.
Yeah.
What's her name?
I can't blanking on it.
She was
Agatha Harkness.
She's
So is she the most underrated? All she is great. Even if you go back,
she's always a secondary character,
even tertiary sometimes. Yeah. Go back and watch
Parks and Rec.
Well, yeah, but go back even further to the most obscure cuts. Go back and watch The Goods, the Don Reddy story with Jeremy Piven, where he was a used car salesman.
I never watched that.
And she's one of his team members, and she has the funniest fucking scene. So, you know,
she's got to be an improv lady.
Oh, she has to be. We drove by the Groundlings in California, in L.A. Oh. That was awesome. That was pretty awesome. But she has a scene in The Goods where I can't remember his name, but you know the big guy that's in all the Rob Corddry, but Rob something. He's the big guy that's in all the Will Ferrell movies and stuff.
Oh, Rob Riggle?
Rob Riggle. Yeah, Riggle. Yeah. He plays an 8-year-old with a glandular problem, and so, but she's super attracted to him in The Goods, and he's got a softball or baseball mitt. He goes, man, and she really wants to have sex with him, and she's debating on whether it's a crime because he's got the body of a 30-year-old, and he's explaining how he's going to oil the glove up, and he's just going to work it, and every time he hits it, she goes, and she puts her hand on his shoulder. Then walks off. It's just, she's fucking great. And
Catherine Hahn.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I'll tell you another movie that she's in. She's another tertiary role is Win a Date with Tad Hamilton, which is a Topher Grace.
Long time since
Josh DeMel.
I can't remember her being in
that. She's the bartender, and I'm going to tell you this. She's smoking hot in that. Like, smoking hot. Also, Dirty Moms. She's the funniest person in Dirty Moms. I
haven't seen that yet.
Oh, the first one you got to watch.
Okay.
Second one, watch if you're drunk. But anyway,
it's fun, man. And like, I didn't realize it was a musical the whole time. But
then that's a good accomplishment.
Yeah, and then the other.
What do you got there?
She was a Doc Ock in Spider-Verse.
Oh yeah, she was the voice.
And then some of the other characters are out of Hamilton, so it's kind of up my alley, too. Like, the dad is one of the kids off of, he's Thomas Jefferson's son in Hamilton, and then Titus from that Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is in the
intro. Oh, okay.
He's great. Like, so, the voice acting is spectacular.
That's just it.
Fun.
Is it a cartoon?
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It looks like Bob's Burgers.
Oh,
okay. And
oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I have seen that. So it's funny because it's like they went to every voice actor or every real actor that has chops in on Broadway.
Yeah.
It's like they went to the people that you had to go to.
Yeah. But the daughter in it, she's famous. It might be Kristen Bell. It doesn't matter. Anyways, she is a comic book artist in the show, and her mixed family, and her character's superpowers. She's basically that Medusa hair, so she's got these puffballs, but she walks around in them like Hulk arms and shit, and she fights people, and she's always drawn like. She's also a hormonal teenager, and she's always drawing, like, comic book epic stories about trying to kiss boys. But it's hilarious, and it works, and, you know, when you have kids and you're thinking about that, so you're like, oh, man, this is fucking great. It's just a great, like, family goofy story.
Huh. Yeah, I'll give it a go. I have never watched, like, Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers is one of my favorite shows.
But when I do watch it, I laugh nonstop.
Yeah.
I'll spin off that before you get one. I haven't watched the second episode, but I watched the first episode of Rick and Morty, the new season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
If you haven't watched the first episode yet, you're a Rick and Morty. Have you watched them?
I've seen, like, the first three seasons.
Okay. Well, I think we're just on four or five.
It's five.
Five, okay.
Yeah.
This first episode, the entire thing is making fun of Namor.
Yeah.
with King Nasmir, and he tells you his name constantly, and he's very ambiguous, and he wants to have threesomes, and he's very but he's Rick's mortal enemy. He's his arch nemesis. I know Tom didn't like last season as much as I do.
I thought last season was fun.
And I know I'm a Dan Harmon homer. We used to have the drinking rules on the show, and that was to chug your drink because I love the guy, but. It's the show never disappoints before for me at all, you know. Between him and what's his writing partner's name on this? Why am I blanking on it?
I can't think of it either.
Yeah, gosh dang it, Dan Harmon and that's a
I'll
problem.
Look it up. Keep going.
But anyway, they write comedy that is it's intravenously injected straight into my veins. It's what I love.
Justin Roiland.
Yes, Justin Roiland. Yeah, whatever they do, I watch. So, yeah.
I get that.
What you got, Jay?
So I watched the documentary LFG about the U.S.
Oh, let's fucking go.
Missy's got
it. Is that out already?
Yeah.
What's it on?
HBO.
Oh, Max.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to watch that. Missy has an LFG shirt.
Okay.
She bought one and ordered one. Yeah.
I heard if you have a daughter, it's pretty inspiring.
It is. It really was. It was well done.
My whole reason of watching the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
You know?
But, like, just seeing how COVID completely derailed the whole lawsuit was just unreal.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that.
It's crazy to sit there and look back and think, man, that was just a year ago.
Yeah.
And, like, all this stuff got buried because everything was COVID.
I probably have time Friday while work, so I'll give it a go.
They had one of the – I forget what her name was, but she was on NPR today, and they were interviewing her, and she was like, I was new to the team and didn't want to make waves because I didn't want to, like, you know, ruin my shot. And then – I started reading everything and people were talking. I'm like, yeah, let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
You know, and like she dove all in.
By the way, for all the shit we get for being St. Louis, for murder and for being a blue collar town, and still having union.
All that syphilis and all
and
that.
Things like that, and for being a COVID spiking again. Kudos to St. Louis. Every time there's an event, whether it's the women's not or women's friendly, the record turnout for that entire build up to the World Cup.
Yep.
Or like this past weekend. The largest attended trials of all time. Like St. Louis shows up for stuff.
Yeah, we're PGA.
PGA, they say it was one of the greatest PGA events of all time. I feel like St. Louis was the Kickstarter to Tiger's comeback. Because he was in contention that final day, and the roar from the galley was like, oh, Tiger's still a real thing.
Yeah.
What's that? It's not the NCAA champion tournament. It's that second tier one.
The Arch Madness?
Yeah.
It's not a second tier. It's our qualifiers for it.
But,
yeah.
But, like, it's insane downtown.
Yeah.
During that whole, I worked down there.
For, I mean, even for, like, NCAA wrestling, yeah. They've had the Final Four here,
we,
and it's been
St.
ridiculous.
Louis has passion. Yeah. You can't take that from St. Louis.
I think
Louis
we, I we're going to do an NBA team.
In the, we've missed out so many times.
I think Kansas will get one before we do.
The MLS is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Here. It's going to be awesome. So, 2023, baby.
Yep.
Mark your calendars. I got my little city supporter on the thing. I put my deposit down.
I know. I'm going to... I need to swing by our city apparel and get a shirt. I'm going to get a shirt.
Yeah. I got the scarf behind us. Mm-hmm. I would get a hat. Yeah.
I need a new hat, like, bad. I ruined my hat in the ocean.
You should get good hats like I get. Milan hats or Movi hats. They're not cheap, but they survive oceans.
Okay.
And water and things like that. But yeah, they're about $60 a piece.
Yeah. So, my hats are all free from breweries and beer sauce events.
I've been with you. Hey, the perks of being a podcast host, baby.
We don't get paid, but we get free hats sometimes.
Let's throw it over to you. What else you got, Ben?
We were all out of town, and I didn't really care. I thought it was kind of stupid, but we should probably mention it. Batman doesn't do oral.
Oh yeah. So, I got two schools of thought on this. One... heroes do do oral.
Yeah.
That's my first thought, because guys that don't...
They're selfless.
Yeah, guys that don't care about pleasing their women don't do oral. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Also, stereotypical black men don't. That's a stereotype. That's a movie trope. Look it up. The other school of thought, why even put it into the fucking story? Why even put it in there? I don't remember that. Oh, that.
So it's that.
Why is Moon Knight better?
Oh, yeah, that was funny. That was funny.
So the whole controversy was Harley Quinn season 3, they wanted to add a scene of, I'll take one. They wanted to add a scene of Batman going down on Catwoman, and DC wouldn't greenlight it. And they said that the whole reason was superheroes don't do that. They could have got around it by saying he's initially a kid's character. I'd prefer you not to do that, even though he's not in, necessarily a kid's character. But they could have got around it in a million different ways.
Yeah, or
but
just
they made
say,
a huge 24-hour controversy.
For even a show that is adult and theme, this is a little step over the line with our most harrowed property. We should, you know, this is our flagship property. We got a movie coming out. We don't want to associate this with it. That's all. And that's all. Don't say heroes don't do oral, because I can go tell my wife and say, do heroes do oral? And she goes, the best ones do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, like... I just
called myself a hero.
Yeah, right? I know.
I'm like Superman. Fucking Superman. Yeah. That's why I got a cape.
But, like, that show... The whole premise of that show is basically overcoming sexism. At least in the first season it was. And in the second season it was mostly about, like, figuring out who you are. And spoiler alert, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy ride off into the sunset together while being shot at a lot.
Oh, so they Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, Thelma and Louise the whole thing. It's hilarious. But
they hinted that for how many years in the comic?
Oh, yeah.
But, it's been a thing even in...
Well, they're in the comics. They are a couple now, right?
Yeah. And I think there was a panel that had them kissing, but when they colored it, it made it look like she was kissing Ivy on the cheek.
Oh, yeah. DC's been weird about that forever.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want to do...
We could sit here and just pile on DC for all the weird shit they do.
Yeah.
Well, they're just DC being DC.
Yeah, they really are. And is their name something Comics Comics?
Detective Comics.
Detective Comics Comics.
No,
that was a meme last week or something. Like, is that really what it is?
Yeah. Direct Continuity was the original name.
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
I was too lazy to look it up.
Or continuity, how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It meant direct sales of a serialized story is
that's
what it
fine.
Meant. Yeah.
But I think Detective Comics.
But yeah, people
comics,
always
comics
say Detective
funny.
Comics Comics. Yeah.
It's pretty
good. Way to go.
This led to a good week of memes, though. So.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
We are
this
I mean,
is great.
So we're the PC Bombcast or the Pop Culture Bombcast podcast. I mean, we were used to be the Rap Cast, is what people used to call it. Random Ass Podcast Cast, is what people used to say.
Hey, we didn't think about it too much.
Yeah, well, it's a podcast. Go fuck yourself.
And the best tweet I saw was Zack Snyder. Somebody drew a picture and he posted and said, this is canon. And then some lady went underneath and was like, how long has this been on your phone? And he blocked her. He blocked her immediately. She posted the box.
That's the best. That's the best.
It's like, oh man, it's fucking great.
I don't know how you segue off of the Batman doesn't do oral, but Jay, what do you have next?
So we went to the theater for Father's Day and saw The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
How was that?
It was completely ridiculous, but I loved it.
So did you like the first one? The first one
was pretty
crazy, right? Yeah, I enjoyed the first one.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's
remember it though.
It's yeah. just mindless action and ridiculous story, but it's just so much fun, especially with Ryan Reynolds and Sam Jackson like interacting.
Yeah,
with each
here was my problem with the first one though, and I told this to Missy, and she did not feel this way. So this is all the opinions voiced on this movie are those solely of Jeremy and not reflect anyone else that has hosted this show. I felt like it was caught between being a really raunchy movie and a really buddy comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it was like they had like strong language that didn't seem to fit the scene sometimes. I was like, they're kind of stuck. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what, you know what it felt like? It felt like an early Netflix movie outing when they didn't quite have their feet under them.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but like Bender said, it was like, it was like eating popcorn. It's gone. And yeah. You don't
I
remember.
Literally have no idea what that movie
yeah.
was about or how it ended.
But I mean,
short of Ryan Reynolds is his bodyguard, but that's in the title.
But and like you're right, Ryan Reynolds and they hate each other because he yeah. costs Ryan Reynolds his status.
Yeah,
they are. I mean, here's the bottom line: it's Ryan Reynolds. What he's
and Sam Jackson.
Well, it's, yeah, yeah. It's yeah. the two of them pretty much being themselves yeah. in a
they're,
movie.
They're the next two guys on Danny Ocean's crew. Like those guys yeah. from the Ocean's movie, I could mm-hmm. read, I could watch them reading stereo instructions and it would be charismatic and captivating.
Yeah.
These two guys are, they could be in that group. So it, worth watching when it's available to watch.
Yeah.
For, I'm not going to go to the theater and see it, but I get why you did because yeah. you're so thirsty for theater movies.
Yeah.
Because theater movies, like when I went and saw, what did I tell you I went and saw recently? Oh, Quiet Place yeah. 2. That movie, good movie. I told we dissected it a little much. Like, if you don't think about it, it's an awesome series and it's a great world that he's building. Again, you can't think about it. But in the movie theater, fucking great experience because of the yeah. noises and
yeah.
it's awesome.
There's a scene with Ryan Reynolds' character's mom,
oh,
and
no.
it was hilarious. And my daughter just lost.
Is his
her
mom
shit.
Betty White?
No,
she should be.
No,
that'd be fucking.
Yeah, I should.
Or at least his grandma.
There's
yeah.
a cameo by his dad in it. His character's
is
dad,
Robert De Niro.
No, even be better. Cool. But
no,
I'm, yeah,
spoil.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not
gonna
spoil
be worth
that one.
Watching. So
yeah.
All right. So out of five,
3.5.
That's worth watching.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll watch
watching.
It.
I'll segue into a 3.5 movie that I watched on the flight. I watched two movies on the flight, and I also watched a couple of 30 for 30s.
Mm-hmm.
One movie I watched was I also watched the finale of Mythic Quest on the flight. I downloaded it. But one movie I watched was, speaking of Marvel properties, or at least actors, I watched Chaos Walking with Tom Holland.
I heard that was awful.
I didn't think it was awful. In fact, I thought it was very good to lay groundwork for what could be an interesting story. For me, it reminded me of an Arthur C. Clarke book, like Ender's Game.
Yeah.
Ender's Game movie was shitty, but you got hints of
That's
why the...
Scott Card, though.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah. Oh, sorry. The one's a history.
You
know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Orson Scott Card. I mean, you got the groundwork of why Card's books are so great in the movie, but you didn't get a good movie.
Yeah.
This one, you didn't get a great movie, but what you got was you got Tom Holland, who's a bona fide star, man. He's a star.
Yeah.
He's good on screen. And in this one, he has some of the
Ray's in it too.
Yeah,
right?
Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. It's they're the two stars,
but not Daisy.
Yeah.
In this one, and I forget who the bad guy is in it. The bad guy is someone. Oh, the bad guy is what's that? That Netflix hitman show. He's got like a weird name. He's a great bad guy. It's
Altered Carbon.
No. There was a hitman movie with him that started with a P. I can't. You have to look up the movie, and you'll know the guy I'm talking about. He's look up the movie, and you'll know who I'm talking about. Don't guess, because he's awesome. But Tom Holland,
Mads Mikkelsen.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy's. You know, that's a good bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a good. Like, I mean, look, he's
awesome.
Whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, he oozes trouble. Like, there's danger in his face.
Yeah.
He makes sense as a bad guy. And the plot of the movie, I felt like they squished it together, but the whole premise of the movie is pretty cool. Not the whole you can see the thoughts, but what comes from that is pretty cool. Oh, but what's cool about that is like Mads is like very good with his projections and he controls them. So like, spoiler alert, he makes Ridley think of, that she's in a prison. Like, it drops walls around her, and she freezes. And then he just walks right through it because she doesn't know what's going on. Because essentially, it's kind of a Why the Last Man premise.
Yeah.
There's this colony on the ground where all men can see their thoughts, so there's no women, and there's these people crashing onto the planet thinking they're there to help some refugees, and they don't know what's going on. Kind of like when the other guys land on Earth in Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
Is it great? No. It's a 3.
Yeah.
It's a 3 out of 5. I tell you this, when it comes on Max or whatever, you will watch it, and you will feel like this was a good 2 hours.
It's one that we've talked about watching, but we just haven't done it yet.
It's good enough that it makes me want to read the books, because the story is pretty cool.
Okay.
So the reason I say it was bad is because it was actually made in like 2016, 2017, and they buried it until now.
Yeah.
Because Tom Holland had a bunch of really great projects coming out, they just kind of released it afterwards.
Well, so he is essentially, I hinted at this a while ago before I told you to look up Mad's name, is he's essentially Peter Parker.
Yeah.
He's reluctantly good.
Yeah.
He's, I shouldn't say reluctantly, he's a good person wanting to do the right thing, but he's not confident.
Mm-hmm.
So he has some of that dopey, lovable hero thing to him. And he's pretty good with his power, better than the average. Nick Jonas, bad guy in it, which is good to see him as a bad guy. And I got to tell you, he's pretty good on screen.
Nick Jonas is a good actor.
And he's viable as the, if it was a high school movie, he'd be the piece of shit jock. Mm-hmm. He was really good in that MMA show, I can't think of the name of it, Kingdom Street or something.
Kingdom.
Like The Kingdom with Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
And Nick Jonas in that played a fighter who had other, like, championship talent, but also was struggling with the fact that he was gay and he was trying to overcompensate with it with some of the things he did. Pretty tough role for a Hollywood heartthrob to pull off that doesn't have a lot of acting. So it's not great. Again, it's worth watching, I think.
Speaking of Why the Last Man, did you see the screenshots from the
I Hulu have not shot? Seen the screenshots.
There's some stills online. They're all dark, but it looks fucking great. Just from that, I mean, it gives me...
Oh, I have seen
it
that.
It gives me the vibes from the comic again, and that was a great comic.
Yeah. One of the best. Brian K. Vaughan, I mean, on top of his game. Brian K. Vaughan, you know, you and I, we've loved him forever.
Yeah.
Whether it's Ex Machina, whether it's that. What else did he did?
He did Runaways.
Runaways. Runaways were big. Yeah.
He did one recently that I have yet
to... Saga.
Yeah.
Oh, Saga.
Saga's so good.
It's his best work.
Yeah.
According. So I have not read it yet. I may jump on it. I did...
Yeah, go ahead.
I did. What did I read? We spun into comics. I did read a book on Hoopla. You should read, and I think you should read. What's the name of it? Gosh darn it! I'll have to. You know, spin into your topic. I only have three more things really to talk about. So by the way, I did want to show you this. Catherine Hahn in Win a Date with Tad Hamilton had slutty tattoos.
Yeah,
hot as can be.
Ooh.
Yep,
hot as can be. All right, somebody else take it.
The couple things that I brought up. There was several trailers that came out this week or the past week. There was the Snake Eyes trailer, which confused me.
Yeah,
the new Shang-Chi.
He talks a lot.
Yeah,
right?
Talks about Shang-Chi. Yeah.
No, I think it's Shang. Apparently, it's Shang-Chi, not Shang-Chi. I think we're all saying it wrong, apparently.
Okay. Oh, well, let's go back to... You go back to Snake Eyes trailer and talk about that for a second, Wiley.
So, G.I. Joe was a little before my time. Like, a little bit before my time. Like, I know he doesn't talk. His tongue is cut out, I assume.
His throat was cut.
Something like that. And then him and the white one,
Storm Shadow,
are mortal enemies because they were raised in the same dojo initially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to throw all of that out the window,
Storm Shadow eventually kills their sensei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to take over.
Zartan did, but framed Shadow for it.
Yeah, he was manipulating.
Because eventually Storm Shadow comes around and he's the G.I. Joe at the end.
Yeah, so this seems to throw all of that out the window or takes place after all of that goes down and he's becoming... A G.I. Joe?
I couldn't tell from the preview.
Maybe he's becoming a G.I. You say that. Maybe he's becoming... Because he saves him, and they're fighting...
Well, it's got Lady Jane in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got G.I. Joe in it.
Yeah. And well, he's like, you're going to be a at some point he says, like, to be a Joe or something. And either way, the bottom line, I'm going to watch it because the swordplay looked really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But
My 10-year-old son saw it and he goes, but I thought he couldn't talk.
That right?
That's all. No, the 10-year-old who hasn't gotten truly into G.I. Joe's knows that.
And does Storm Shadow slit his throat?
I don't think it was him. I don't remember what the deal was.
So,
with that.
Okay, so one, we know that Snake Eyes at one point could talk.
Yeah.
We know that for whatever reason, whether it's a throat slit or something, he doesn't talk.
Show that.
So, and we know when you cast...
Last scene of the movie.
Well, we know when you cast a guy who's kind of a up-and-coming star,
yeah,
you're going to get him to talk. But in a trailer, you don't need to show him talking so goddamn much.
Yeah. Like, he talked the whole time.
It's all he did. I wanted him to shut up.
Yeah.
And like, and that's fine if that's what it is. If that's what it is like, it's his origin story type situation where he gets double-crossed by Storm Shadow at the end. Great. That's fine. But I just, it, you couldn't read into any of it.
I think that Zartan thing was also a retcon thing, because I think they retconned it when they decided to make Storm Shadow a Joe.
Right.
And because he ended up being a good guy at the end, because he was the
second most popular character.
Well, yeah, he was the Wolverine. Well, Snake Eyes was the Wolverine, but he was the Sabretooth. Yeah. They had to make him popular, you know, or Gambit. They had to make him a good guy.
The next trailer that I watched, Ross actually posted it. The Harder They Fall, The Harder They Fall, with Regina King, Idris Elba. Zazie Beetz.
Yeah. It looks good.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's based on a true story. Idris Elba's character is a real black cowboy, and that is his.
Yeah, it does look good.
Looks spectacular. I have nothing really above it. The fact that Idris Elba's in it, it looks cool.
Well, before you spin into yours, there's two trailer-esque things, and we don't spend a lot of time on them talking about.
One more, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Shang-Chi, did you guys watch the second?
Yeah, I did. Yes. Trailer looks awesome.
Fing Fang Foom and Abomination?
The Abomination thing bothers me.
Why?
Because he should not be able to fight Abomination in a cage.
No, he really shouldn't.
No.
No.
But he's using Mystics, but the fact that they're bringing him back in and they're...
I like that they're bringing him back.
I think it's going to probably set up for She-Hulk where he's supposed
he's
to be
coming
in
back into She-Hulk.
But even with the 10 rings on his hand, he should have trouble with
him. It's not him. It's Wang or whatever.
I know, but still.
Oh, Wong from Doctor Strange.
Man, no change. Racist. No chance. In a cage. No chance.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, but...
Like, the cage can't even really hold
it. No, it bothers me. Unless they give us some depowered mysticism, explanation, then I'll be okay. But does look cool.
What'd you think about Fing Fang Foom in there? Like, we assume that's what it is.
Well, it's either that or something tied to Iron Fist, because they've had a lot of dragons.
There's more dragons in Fing Fang Foom.
I know, but do you think they're going to... I think they're going to just pretend Iron Fist doesn't exist at all.
No, I don't think it's Fing Fang Foom.
You don't think so?
No, I think it's a dragon god. And Fing Fang Foom's kind of would be a great threat on the planet. And that seemed more like something that was...
Vision or something?
I think it's going to be
a Vision, too. Yeah. But I don't want it to be.
If it was a sleeping Fing Fang Foom and he just gets away from it, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, just a little Easter egg there.
The two trailers, not trailers, but two movie news things that I wanted to talk about. One is a trailer. Halloween Kills trailer came out today.
I didn't watch it.
Looks pretty good.
Did you like the last one?
Yeah, I did. I liked it a lot. And then this one's flipping the script. This one, it ends exactly where begins exactly where the last one ends. And this one, they rally the town to go hunt Michael Myers.
Oh, that's cool. So, I like that idea.
Yeah.
The only problem I had with the last one is her stepdad, I think it was, gets murdered. And they just blow right by it.
Oh, it's a horror movie.
There's, enough.
And so one reason to watch the trailer, it's an unbelievable a lot of murder and gore in a trailer that you don't expect. Watch the trailer. You're like, oh, I think I just saw a mini horror movie.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to talk about is they've brought up, they haven't showed stills, but there's been a lot of talk. Oh, I'm sorry, they did show set pics. Evil Dead Rises, man.
Really?
Raimi and Bruce Campbell back on set.
Ooh.
I think Bruce Campbell's going to make an appearance in Doctor Strange.
He should.
He's got to.
He's got to, right?
Yeah.
You can't break that tradition.
Well, But so, and there's some rumors on the interwebs that are swirling is that the characters from the Evil Dead TV show will be in the movie.
Oh.
I hope they do it.
Did you watch that show?
I love that show. Fuck it. I shotgunned it through the pandemic, and I'm surprised I never brought it up on the air. I fucking loved it.
Did you watch Stan vs. Evil?
I loved that show.
Did you? Yeah. I tried. I couldn't get
no,
it.
No, 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 no. I'm sorry. I liked... No, I did not like Stan vs. Evil. I was thinking of the movie Tucker. I was thinking of the movie Tucker and Dave. That was fucking great.
That's fucking great.
That was a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, that is pure comedy gold.
Yeah.
But Stan vs. Evil, I really wanted to watch it because it's what the doctor from Scrubs, and I really wanted to like it, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Next,
so, just a couple quick things. They're making a Scott Whelan biopic.
Oh, Scott Weiland?
Yeah, from Stone Temple
Pilots.
Yeah,
STP.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Who's playing him?
They haven't said yet. They're in the process of writing it.
Is he dead? I can't remember.
Yeah, he died. He died.
2016, I think.
Yeah, he died on tour with, I can't remember who he was with, but he was asleep.
Velvet Revolver?
Yeah, Velvet Revolver. He was asleep in the bus. Yeah.
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 We were out, so our rental car in California had Sirius, so we put it on lithium.
Yeah.
And man, my two favorite STP songs are Sour Girl and Pretty Penny.
Yeah.
And they played them like 2 days in a row, unrelated to anything. And I was just like, God damn, that dude was a good songwriter, man.
Yeah,
and a good singer.
Yeah.
If he could, and he's like a little bit of James Hetfield in him. Alcoholica was way better than Sober Metallica.
Yeah.
Scott Weiland, maybe he needed the drugs to do what he did, but fuck, he was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see those demons come out, like, because they're based in it off his biopic.
I got
Off his biography.
Yeah, yeah. When we're done with the episode, I want to talk about something music wise. It's a show we're watching, but it's not worth bringing up, even though it's cool. But yeah, I mean, great frontman.
Yeah.
It's like somebody find like you know though you gotta take Dave Grohl, you gotta take Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
And who else? You got
Chris Cornell.
No. Billy Corgan, Dave Grohl. You got to wrap them in bubble wrap, man.
Oh,
Our alternative.
Chris Cornell's already gone.
Yeah, our alternative gods are dying left and right, man.
That's why I forgot about Scott Weiland, because Chris Cornell died soon after that of a drug.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm sorry. Maybe the other one, Eddie Vedder. Keep him safe, man. Keep him safe.
Every time a Pearl Jam song comes on, I'm like, Eddie Vedder's still alive, right?
Yeah. So real quick, Dusty Dean, the Dean of Rap, friend of the show, he posted something on Missy's page today on Facebook, and we should watch it when we're done. It's the worst singing imaginable, but it's so fucking good. It's so the first concert in Madison Square Garden was Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dave Chappelle. Have you watched it?
I saw like a 10-second clip, and it's awful, but it's great.
No,
because it's
great.
Yeah,
it's Dave Chappelle knows Creep for one.
Yeah.
You don't think of that, but and if you remember, Arsenio Hall was a massive fan of Radiohead.
Yeah,
he broke them in the United States because he said, "I just like good music; doesn't have to be black music." And he brought them on.
Yeah,
but. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Like, he sounds like shit, but it was great, and it felt like the first, like...
And it's...
Like, shaking off the pandemic.
And it lets you know that even with singing bad, Dave Chappelle's still one of the... Well, Dave Grohl's the last rock star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dave Chappelle is also a fucking rock star. Yeah. We'll watch it after this, but...
Yeah. Ron Perlman is going to be the voice of Optimus Primal in Beast Wars.
Are they doing a new Beast Wars?
I guess so.
I wrote that down.
Yeah. So this will be the second time without Peter Cullen as the voice of Optimus.
No. Peter Cullen's in it. He's Optimus Prime.
Okay.
Ron Perlman, I read this
because
I'm confused. He's Optimus Primal, which is different.
Yeah, because Beast Wars was after my Transformers.
Yeah,
so
my wheelhouse.
If you ever get bored, and if you've never done it, Wikipedia,
I did
the official Transformer storyline, because they all intertwine and they all connect.
Yeah,
and in a weird way, and somehow it all is awesome. Like, now keep in mind the new movies, especially when they jump the shark by adding Mark Wahlberg, are really shitty.
So,
but the story is how they intertwine all the Beast Wars with that, and I really want to know. I haven't read that since the new War in Cybertron on Netflix.
I haven't either,
which is awesome.
Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched it.
You've liked it, right?
I haven't watched any of it. My son's watched it all.
I fucking love it. And it's two seasons so far, and they do them in parts. So part one was like six episodes, part two, six episodes. But I want to know if it ties in. But yeah, the story, somehow, it's almost like 12 different guys wrote things over 100 years, and then one guy got together and said, I'm going to make it all make sense together.
So I listened to a podcast today, and apparently...
Was it ours?
No.
Then shouldn't count?
Apparently, the Beast Wars is actually set on Earth.
Yes.
But in the original Transformers universe, Optimus Prime and them were already here, but they were frozen in stasis or something.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's why it's Optimus Primal, and that's why it kind of looks like Optimus Prime, because he is a Prime, and he just modeled himself after him. But he's a giant gorilla.
Yeah.
And then there's the Terracons, which is apparently the bad guys in this one. I deep dived in this, and then I was like, this is going to be a terrible movie.
I mean, it's even deeper than that, though. You get every Transformer story that they've ever... It's so animated, because that's canon. Yeah. Animation's canon. And they connect them all. And it's bizarrely fulfilling, like how they do it.
But this movie is going to have Terracons, Predacons, Maximals...
It's a movie?
And, yeah.
Is it animated?
It's set in 1994. It's after Bumblebee.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
So I don't have high hopes now.
Bumblebee, I thought, was fine.
Yeah, I didn't think that was bad.
Yeah, it was Bumblebee was fine. John Cena was in it, and it wasn't his best performance.
He was in it for like 10 minutes.
I know.
Tops.
But he was billed as like this big role. And,
yeah, no.
And I think maybe even if his performance was good, his oddly...
It was a coming-of-age story.
But his oddly grown robot dad hair...
Yeah.
Kind of did it, ruined it for me.
Yeah. But anyways, so the Terracons are zombie Decepticons and Autobots. So it's a, they have a Dark Spark or
instead of the All Spark, they have the Dark Spark.
Instead of All Spark, it's a Dark
Spark. Yeah.
So they're basically zombies. Predacons are bad, they're predator versions of the Autobots or whatever, but they're animals. Maximals are the good versions. They're the, you know, they're Optimus Prime, Mole, who's an ape, and all those guys.
Yeah.
And then there's also going to be Optimus Prime's going to be in it, and Bumblebee's going to, whoever, he doesn't have a voice, but whatever.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Seems like a whole lot. And I'm like, Bumblebee was fine, and it was like a back to earth. Like, the first Transformers is Michael Bay as it was. I really
enjoyed it. Oh, the first one was a great movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
The first one was so good, it laid the groundwork on what G.I. Joe should have been, and then G.I. Joe shit the bet.
Yeah.
And then, like, you go back and you watch it, and there's, like, a lot of, like, ridiculous, like, car scenes and Megan Fox. You know, overly sexualized scenes that you're like, it's kind of ridiculous.
I'm okay with Megan Fox overly sexualized scenes. Yeah.
It wasn't over the top.
Before we segue into whatever anything else you brought, I do want to say this about Transformers, which played a massive part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I'm a little older. I'm Gen 1 toys.
Yep,
were right in my breadbasket. The comic book from Marvel, right in my breadbasket. Had a bunch of them. Didn't read them, obviously, because I was young. I mean, I read them, but didn't really see
issue 80 of a four-issue limited series.
Great stuff. But when you watch The War on Cybertron on Netflix, which is 5 out of 5 for me, and I highly recommend it, and when you read some of the stuff, and when you watch, like, there was a series called All Hell Megatron, which was really awesome.
Yes, that was good.
That was really awesome. Here's the one complaint. The overwhelming, hard to get past complaint about Transformers. It's the most depressing story about the good guys never catch a break in the Transformers story. Yeah. Even when Optimus Prime does something amazing, the Autobots end up losing.
You know?
I mean, it's just so... It's almost like, you know, it's almost like sometimes... I can't remember what story arc we were talking about or whether it was movies or what was like, it was like, if Peter Parker never succeeds, then those stories suck.
Yeah.
Peter Parker is the down on his luck, can't catch a break, even with his superpower, still can't pay his bills, but somehow gets the supermodel. Somehow is one of the greatest heroes in the world. Inspires optimism.
Yeah.
Take all that part away from unless you get Transformers.
Yeah.
Peter Parker, like, his life sucks and he always ends up losing, but there's always some super hot chick to sleep with him when he's down on his luck, and there's somebody to let him sleep on his couch.
And he always saves the planet.
Yeah, he always does well.
What else?
Speaking of that, like the Transformers world, I started reading this comic called ROM, which I never heard of. It's a little bit before my time because apparently it was a failed toy
That they turned into a comic book.
That at the same time they were producing the toy, Marvel turned into a comic book.
Because we may know this from our childhood, but if there was one sure way to make a good toy line is give it a 30-minute cartoon as its commercial.
Yep.
In the early 80s, you did it with comic books.
Yep.
And the comic...
Thus, Secret Wars.
Yeah, and the comic outlasted the toy by a solid 2 years, I believe. Mm-hmm.
But it was a very under-the-radar, critically... Well, like, it's a very deep cut. But for those in that love comics and have certainly owned a comic book store, there's a lot of ROM fans in the world.
Yeah. And there's a weird... So I deep-dived into, like, the Wikipedia and the fan page and everything, and people were talking... There's a weird tie-over crossover where Rom went into the Marvel Universe
yep.
with Transformers and himself, and there's like an all tied in at one point, then it split off, and obviously it doesn't work anymore. But there's a new series, I think it started in 2018 from IDW, and I'm reading it. It's okay.
Marvel has the rights again.
Yeah.
Because they've shown up in X-Men stuff.
The only...
Cable sword he has right now is a Space Knight sword.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
So... And I got that. I started on it from a fan art drawing off of Twitter, and I was like, "Who the hell is this guy?"
Yeah.
And then I dove in, and I was like, "I'm gonna read some stuff."
Yeah. Speaking of Marvel having the rights, I read it, the first issue of their Alien.
I saw it today. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, you don't.
Okay,
maybe skim through because some of the art's good because it's LaRocca.
Yeah,
but you don't have to.
No,
is it bad?
I mean, it's an alien story in a comic book. It's as good as any other alien story in a comic book that's ever written.
So
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, like a bad alien movie. Like
Alien Resurrection.
I like Alien
did
Resurrection.
Did you read the comic for Alien 3?
No.
Yeah, where they fixed the problems that the director wasn't allowed
to
do?
No. The original Alien 3 script, which I think was Joss Whedon's, it's bad. It's real bad. It's a comic book, and it's also...
I think it was Resurrection, because he was credited as a writer on that movie.
Yeah, but they took... I believe the original is they threw almost everything out, and they still had to credit him.
Yeah.
The original Alien Resurrection, I think the only thing that goes in there is like the human hybrid stuff.
Yeah.
Was his thing, and it's bad. Like I read the comic, like it is the original script for Alien 3, and it sucks. I wanted to love it, and I hated it.
I've got two more things to talk about. Do you want me to start with one, or you go ahead and do one?
I got nothing else.
Go ahead.
So I've watched two things. I'll start with one, then I'll let you. The last thing I'll, or well, the next thing I'll talk about is the other movie I watched on my flight. I don't know how I missed this from 2013. It's called Begin Again. It's got Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, Adam Levine, and Haley Steinfeld. It's all about. Mark Ruffalo is a. They say in the write up a disgraced. Music executive.
Mm.
He's not really disgraced. He's just an alcoholic that he's got a divorce. He's depressed.
Yeah.
He's still, and he hasn't had a big group in a while. And his partner, Mos Def, kind of takes the company from him and says he's fired, which is kind of weird because he still shows up for work in the movie and stuff. It's not, it's silly. That part of it. But Keira Knightley is this singer-songwriter, this Norah Jones type singer-songwriter who. He actually just drunkenly stumbles. Oh, I'm sorry. James Corden also. She's James Corden's best friend, and she's the ex-girlfriend to Adam Levine. She gets he becomes big, cheats on her, breaks up with her, and so she just goes. She's about to leave the United States, New York. She plays her song, and you know it's a very meet cute kind of story.
Yeah.
He drunkenly stumbles in, hears her play, but what's cool about it is as he's hearing her play her acoustic set, you see it from her perspective. In the opening of the film, and then they give you the title, and you see him like drunkenly stand there. Mark Ruffalo plays a drunk, depressed guy, great. And then they cut back to his day, and then it builds up, and then you see why he's grinning. And in his mind, as she's playing, you can see him doing it. He's putting the rest of the band around her, and it's really cool how they do it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he tells her, "Hey, I'm a music executive. I want to sign you. I want to produce you. I think you've got amazing talent." She goes, "The crowd didn't love me." He goes, "Well, they don't know yet.
Yeah.
They didn't like you because of the way you look. Ditch the fucking." He's like, "Ditch the teacher clothes. Put on a cardigan and be the next Norah Jones." And she's like, "Well, you don't want to. I don't want to be packaged." He goes, "Well, I got to tell you, you're not going to get anywhere if you're not packaged." But then he kind of like, "You know what? Fuck it. Let's." he decides to, they go get James Corden. They build in his Rolls Royce, his old broken down Rolls Royce, a mobile studio. And he goes, let's record a gorilla album around New York and incorporate the ambient noises. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make you famous. And Haley Steinfeld is his daughter. Mm-hmm. His mom is the, his ex was his estranged wife is, the chick from 40-Year-Old Virgin that he tries to sleep with in it. I can't remember her name, but you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Well, so it's her, and I'll tell you.
Banks.
Yeah. No. The one that he ends up being with.
Oh, okay.
Elizabeth Banks is the crazy bitch who tries to put his bike in her trunk.
Catherine Keener?
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah, that might be it. I'll tell you this. It's a very low-stakes movie. And I want to go back to it. I gave it a 4 out of 5 because if you have nothing going on, if you had a rainy day where you're not leaving the house and you just ended up feeling good about yourself, watch this movie. I mean everything. It's not positive like Ted Lasso, but everything good that you want to end up happening happens. Yeah. So, and you can tell Adam Levine wrote most of the music and plays most of the music in it. It's all pretty fucking good music.
Yeah.
And even his songs in it are pretty solid. It's plus Keira Knightley's still hot, so it's worth watching. So anyway, check it out.
It's this movie came out
2013.
2013. Yeah. When I first met Tom, one of the first things he said is, "Me and my wife are going to go watch this movie Begin Again. I'm pretty excited." And I was like, "I don't know if I like this guy."
Yeah, but it's a good movie. Yeah. It was just on the plane. And when I watched it on the plane, I was like, oh, a new Mark Ruffalo. It must have been a pandemic release. Yeah. And it wasn't until I was actually doing research for the show, I was like, that's a fucking old movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the other thing that bothers me is I looked this, and I had deep dived into this. When you look up the poster, it's got all the, it's got Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo on the, whatever, the Rolls Royce or whatever. Mm. And then all the stars at the top, it's got,
Adam Levine, James Corden.
But in order, it's James Corden, Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, and Adam Levine. But then above them is their names. And I had to look this up, why they don't line stars' names up with their picture on a movie poster. And it's way back from the 50s, and it's a top billing thing.
Okay.
So the biggest star, the highest paid, and the star draw is first.
Yep. Yeah.
Or biggest. Okay. Whatever, however you're doing it.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter where the artwork comes or anything like that, but you could still fucking line their names up. And it drives me insane. So Keira Knightley was paid the most.
At the time, that makes sense.
Mark Ruffalo followed. Yep. Haley Steinfeld, Adam Levine, James Corden, CeeLo Green, and
CeeLo. I forgot he's in it too, yeah.
But like, it's just, like, I have OCD, and it just drives me insane.
But you should watch the movie.
Okay, it doesn't matter. This is why we do this podcast. And
he can't watch it on principle now.
I can't watch it because the names don't line up.
All right, what else do you got?
Gift of Gab passed away on Friday.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Not a big, as big a story as I thought it was.
Here's the problem with it. I like Gift of Gab. You shared it.
Yeah.
And for a brief second, I read that, and I was like, who the fuck was Gift of Gab? And then I remembered, I love Gift of Gab.
Yeah.
That's a problem. He was a very under-the-radar, underrated rapper. But, man, as far as his prose, his timing, and his ability to spit out rhymes, he's pretty up there, man.
Yeah,
he's up there with, like, Killer Mike and those guys. I mean, he's fucking good.
Yeah.
Great. In fact, the song you posted, I think.
Yeah.
Was
he had some kind of kidney problem, I think. Mm. He's been battling it for like 6 or 7 years.
The song you posted was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, or someone. I don't know if it was you or someone else posted it. I can't remember. But it was that's a big one. That's, there have been a lot of hip hop guys dying. Here's the thing.
We're getting old, man.
Well, it's not that we're getting old. It's hip-hop's finally old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But these guys are finally getting to the age where they will start dying.
That's what I mean. And hip-hop started in the 80s.
Yeah.
79, 80, 81. So hip-hop's now fucking old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, rock stars are still, they've been around since the 60s. And yeah, some of them are, but when rock stars start dying, you're like, well, that fucker's lived a long life.
Yeah.
Well, finally we're getting to the point where hip-hop guys have.
And it just feels weird, I guess, because as a kid, like rock stars were around in like the 60s and 70s.
And hip hop still feels so new.
It did feel new. And then you like you think back, you're like, nah, that was like 79. Dude, I wasn't even born.
That it was Freedom Form Flowing.
Yeah, that's a great great song. Great the gift. And I went and I downloaded a bunch of his music and just because I haven't heard it in a while. And it, one of those guys I forgot about.
Yeah,
this is a weird beer.
Here's my thoughts on that beer. You're drinking a Fog Light from O'Fallon Brewing Company. Jay and I talked about this, and you talked about a beer a while ago that's very middle of the road.
I don't think this is middle of the road,
though. I think O'Fallon Brewing, everything they do is middle of the road.
Everything they do is below middle of the road.
Yeah. That tastes to me like a homebrew beer. But
why does it have a caramel flavor to it?
Because it tastes like somebody didn't know they didn't clean their homebrew kit that well.
Yeah.
And now, is it bad? No. And Missy even said, she goes, well, I enjoy this one. And she goes, and it's the first time I've said that about O'Fallon Brewing in a while.
Would you buy this again, though?
Nope.
I would not.
No, absolutely not.
You know what they did? Their best beer, and they don't do it anymore, was Kite Tail. It was a wheat ale.
That wasn't bad. Yeah. 5-day IPA was also, or wasn't that?
Yeah. They still do 5-day.
But that one's not bad.
Yeah.
No, it's not bad. But I'm not like, ooh, they got 5-day on tap.
I don't like to have one. In fact, I go out of my way not to order their beer.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? And I'll put this down. We've got friends in the brewing industry that may listen, like Andrew and Rick Dury and all those guys, and even Kent or even Kyle at Shamrocks. Also, big shout out to them. They got their loan. They're about to get their new building.
Oh, nice.
I would welcome someone from O'Fallon Brewing Company to come on and prove me wrong. I'm not a fan of your beers as a whole. There's not one that's been knocked my socks off. If you have a reason for why you make your beers the way you do or whatever, or if we just need a discourse, I think it's our third open invitation to come on our show.
Yeah.
George R. R. Martin, and I can't remember the second, but this one. So let's just call it two.
So, no, there's definitely a third. I don't remember the second.
Yeah, it was recently we talked about it. Yeah. Them, but, you know,
So... If you were going to rate them, the originals, I would say Trailhead's gone now. So, but, like, this O'Fallon's like Schlafly's worst little brother.
They're like Schlafly's brother that wants to do everything they do, but...
Yeah, worst little brother.
Schlafly was the varsity starter four years in high school, and O'Fallon was a second stringer the entire time on the football team.
And we're the parents who are constantly reminding them they're not as good as
your brother. Yeah, you're not as good as your brother. He's not as good. You know what? This is a segue conversation. I want to bring this up.
It's what we do.
This is a long podcast, and we're going long. It's okay. Somebody in the St. Louis Beer Enthusiast Facebook page, and I rarely do anything, but they...
Barely or rarely?
Rarely. I rarely post anything. I've been drinking bourbon. I rarely post anything on there because 90% of the things that are posted, they drive me insane. And a friend of the show, he listens, Jason Kiefer, you also drive me insane on the St. Louis Beer Enthusiast. So someone posted, heading to Indianapolis this weekend. Give me the must-stop places.
I saw that and I ignored it.
So I posted... I saw that there was 5 or 6 posts and everybody had mentioned something. And I said, dude, you got to go by Sun King. It's a very enjoyable experience. And then someone followed below. There was like, here. And then somebody goes, you could go by Sun King, but it's basically the Schlafly of Indianapolis.
What's wrong with that?
Fucking exactly.
What's wrong with that? It's the flagship brewery of your hometown?
Yeah. Fucking exactly. But they didn't say it that way. They said it like, well... They got beer, but, you know, it's nothing to write home about. I beg to differ. If you come to St. Louis, there's a lot of Narrow Gauge. Amazing.
Yeah.
Side Project. Amazing. Forehands. Amazing. But you tell me.
Second Shift.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I would go Narrow Gauge and Second Shift 1 and 1B. You can put them in order.
Yeah, yeah.
But tell me, though, what more impressive of a building to go into than... either of Schlafly's downtown buildings.
They filmed Escape from New York in
that neighborhood. Yeah. I mean, those buildings are impressive.
And you wouldn't have any of these other breweries without Schlafly.
No.
Because they're the ones that fought for craft beer in St. Louis.
Yeah. Oh, and Bender and I, one of our favorite episodes, certainly one of our best rated episodes, most downloaded episodes, with Second Shift.
Yeah.
When Kreider came on and he talked about it, he said he told us a lot of people hate on Schlafly, but without Schlafly, I wouldn't have got through my first 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He goes, they helped me out. They fought for me to be included when I wasn't in St. Louis. They fought for me to be included in the St. Louis brewing. Like,
I didn't comment. I didn't like. I didn't hate.
Yeah.
But it made me want to find that hire a detective, find that guy's IRL,
yeah.
track him down and strangle him for being an elitist. So what happened? Here's what happened. Let me break it down to you guys. I don't typically quote comment on St. Louis beer enthusiasts because it drives me insane. And I did. And then I was instantly reminded why I don't fucking comment
exactly.
on it.
Yep.
But anyway.
Speaking of St. Louis beer enthusiasts and non-negative things, it got me to a new obsession that I have.
A what?
These people posting pictures on St. Louis beer enthusiasts in these like fucking cool-ass glasses
that
I don't own and couldn't figure out how to find for a while. But
there's one guy that has like a new glass every day.
And they are so expensive, and I ordered two of them.
From what is it again? Say it again. I'm sorry.
The St. Louis beer enthusiasts.
Oh, okay.
If you look at their pictures, everybody's got like these cool 8-bit glasses with a bunch of fun stuff.
Yeah.
I ordered them. I ordered some from one. I follow a couple of the places. One of them is Sloppy Joe. And I ordered two Spider-Man glasses from them. And it wasn't cheap. They were like $15 a piece.
Yeah.
Which is insane. If my wife knew I paid $15 for a fucking beer glass, she'd murder me. But they finally came today. And I drank out of one of them, and I love it. It's an 8-bit Spider-Man V Doc Ock.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's worth twice the money.
Oh,
that's
a
$30 glass. I'd pay $30 for that. If I see that in a comic shop, I'm fucking buying it.
Yeah.
Oh, and I loved it. And I love everything about it.
And you're going to have to send that link to order glasses
from. So it's Sloppy Joe, and then there's another one. I'm going to my groups right now.
Is it Sloppy Joe? Sloppy Joe?
Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy
Joe. And then the other one is Tipple Glasses, T-I-P-P-L-E, glass, and he's getting ready to release this, like, Sonic versus Mario
3-pack. Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's, like, $45, and I'm like, I want it so bad, and, like, he's, like, one of 100.
Yeah.
And I want it, and I need it, and at the same time, I'm like, do I really need to pay $45 for 3 glasses?
Yeah.
I gotta get rid of more. I got 2 boxes of pint glasses in there that have lost their spot on my bar.
Yeah.
I just got 2 new pint glasses from California, but I could use some cooler ones.
Yeah.
All the glasses are weird. They're not pint glasses. They're always like different weird ones, can-shaped ones.
I see can-shaped ones are my favorite. That's the ones I got from California.
I got another one. I ordered 2.
He got
another
obsession.
One.
It's his obsession, obsession with these glasses are like me kickstarting board games.
Yeah. Oh, it really is.
I'm paying way more for the kickstarting board games.
It really is. So, like, the other one is
he'll get more use out of these.
Carnage Venom split with an 8-bit Spider-Man on the other side, and like Venom's tongue's hanging out, and there's hops falling off of it.
That's the best.
Great. I haven't posted it yet.
That's the best.
Yeah. I love it.
I can't wait for that. I'm gonna go to my last thing, and then I'm done. And then Jay, we can close with anything you have. I just finished today, and we talk a lot about, I mean, we talk sports more than some people want, but I don't think we talk sports very much.
More than I want.
But, but I don't talk enough about how much I love boxing, especially classic boxing. I have talked boxing on here before.
Mm-hmm. Last time I was on, we talked.
Yeah, we talked about Jake Paul, Logan Paul.
Actual boxing.
But HBO just completed a 4-part documentary, hour each episode, called Four Kings. For those that don't know who the Four Kings were, they were labeled in the early 80s. Four Kings is Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Tommy the Hitman Hearns, and Sugar Ray Leonard. They were represented probably the most important and greatest moment in boxing history. These were 4 of the greatest fighters to ever live. Mm-hmm. They all happened to fight at the same time. They all happen to fight each other over a 10-year, 12-year span, and they all happen to fight each other both at their peak and at their twilight.
Yeah.
It's awesome because there's 4 episodes, and they really take it. They really break. It starts with Sugar Ray, who was kind of the first up, and it ends with kind of the last 2 guys that fought, which were Hearns and Duran were the ones that held on the longest. But it really like breaks down socioeconomically what was going on, especially in the Panama Canal with Roberto Duran. So for those that don't know, Roberto Duran's house was raided when the United States was looking for Noriega.
Yeah.
Because Roberto Duran was that famous in Panama, so they assumed he was hiding them. Because he was such a big proponent for get the United States out of Panama, let us have the canal back. And then it really highlighted, I mean, it
if you love sports documentaries, it's a must watch. It's not as good as When We Were Kings,
yeah,
which is my favorite sports documentary, one of my favorite of all time, favorite, certainly my favorite boxing, but it's not far behind.
Yeah,
it's an unbelievable documentary. For the, and Marvin Hagler, who recently died, him and Hitman Hearns have both died recently in the last couple of years. Marvin Hagler was the most unsung, underrated boxer of all time. I mean, I think his record at the end of it was 69-3, and he lost two of his losses, one to Sugar Ray Leonard and the other one to, I can't think of his name, but both were not, I mean, he won those fights.
Yeah.
He was ripped off. He was a product of the corruption in boxing. He might be one of the greatest boxers. And a side note, he went to India to make, he retired after he lost to Sugar Ray Leonard. In the ring, he was clearly mad. He goes, "I didn't lose this fight. It's bullshit."
Yeah.
He goes, you know, and they asked him, "What's next?" He goes, "No, I don't like this world anymore. I'm done."
Yeah.
After 70 fights, I'm done. And he went to India and made martial arts movies, which are the worst movies of all time, but they're amazing to watch the clips of.
Yeah.
And, but this guy, Marvin Hagler, and I'm not going to focus the whole thing on Marvin Hagler, but he fought his entire fucking career to try to make a payday. He just wanted to fight Hearns or Leonard to make a payday. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't not fight him because they were making big money. They were both Olympians. Leonard, certainly the golden child. And he finally got his paydays at the end. And then he became like right guard, odorific inspiration, stuff like that. And then he finally started making money. And then, but that dude fucking never changed. Tommy Hearns, still a great guy through his whole career, kind of lost money because of his entourage was so big. Mm-hmm. Of the four guys, there were some drug problems, there were some issues. Not a bad guy among them. Not like a wife-beating situation among them. The four best representation of boxers. And again, I can't stress enough, you rank the top 25 greatest boxers in the world, they're all in the top 12. They're so good. And they all fought each other. And boxing never sees that. We'll never see that again.
Yeah.
And it's called Four Kings. It's on Showtime. Four parts. It just ended. You can watch it. It's 4 hours out of your life if you love sports that you will cherish. So that's all I got. What? Anything else you got, Jay?
Nope. I'm done.
Oh, that's it? That's it, Bender.
Well, I think I'm done. That was it.
Oh, I lied to you. I got one more thing. I told you guys that I was going to bring up one more thing for comic book related. I read two trades on Hoopla called Kanto.
Okay.
Kanto, and you can look at the art. The art's incredible. It's a story that's loosely based on Wizard of Oz. These are a bunch of Tin Men soldiers that helped win a war. And after they won the war, they didn't have a purpose, so the Shrouded Man, who they fought for, took their hearts out and gave them clocks and made them blue-collar workers, slaves.
Hmm.
And so Kanto, they were not allowed names. They were not allowed feelings. But Kanto was named by another one of his Tin Men, a girl, who loved him, so she gave him a name. And she ended up getting injured, so he went on a quest to try to, or her clock was running out of time, so he went on a quest to get her heart back.
Yeah.
And he becomes this, like, very strong, prominent figure for leads a rebellion. They all want their hearts back. He faces a Shrouded Man. Spoiler a little bit. At the end of the first trade, gets sent back. But because of the magic the Shrouded Man used on him, his clock no longer was needed.
Yeah.
And the writer really loved Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So he based it on it. But I got to tell you what, for a very simple, quick read, you'll read all 6-12 issues, whatever each trade is, super fast. Man, the art's amazing, and the story is very fun, and it's everything that's great about fantasy. I had never heard of it.
Is it kind of episode worthy? Like, we all read it?
Oh, I think so. I think you guys would like it.
Two trades or one?
Two trades so far. Still going.
Okay.
The third trade's not out. In fact, it's good enough. I give it like a 4, maybe 3.75, 4 out of 5, but so good. I finished the second trade on the flight there. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I downloaded, it was so good that I downloaded other trades, and I didn't want to read them because I was so mad that I couldn't read the finality of that story. So check that out.
I'm trying to find, that's been my goal lately is to try to find a trade for us to do. I think two that I think we could do is Death and Glory. It's only two trades. I believe it's only two trades, and it's Rick Remender.
Oh yeah, okay. Remender. Yeah.
Rick Remender.
It's
complete. It's about human trafficking type thing. And then there's Bitterroot. There's only two trades of that out so far, but it's very good.
Well, let's put a pin in that because we don't have to talk about future planning. For
yeah,
the
we
pop.
Don't have to do that now.
But yeah, because I got
cut this all together.
I got no. I'm not going to cut it. Why would we do that? I've only cut like four things ever in this podcast.
Yeah.
But I got another one too that I want to bring up here in a little before you guys leave. I haven't read it yet, but I want to read it. I think other than that though,
I think we're done, man.
Yeah, 140. 140, dude.
Yeah.
We took off last week and we doubled up on them this week.
That was the thing. Like my buddies, I was talking to my neighbors. They're like, "You going to do a podcast tonight?" Like, what's up?
Is that Bryce?
Bryce, and then
Bryce is my buddy, man.
Yeah, Bryce is a good dude. He goes, "How long was Jeremy in California?" A month. I go, "I think it was like 5 days." He goes, "He posted enough pictures for a month."
Oh yeah, yeah. I like Bryce. Bryce is a good dude.
Yeah, and then my other buddy Jake, they were like, "Hey, what are you guys talking about tonight?" I'm like, "I got like four topics that are like quick hits, but we'll just bullshit forever."
Yeah, yeah. And absolutely we did. But you know what? Sometimes you need to bring the bullshit into the hall, and you got to calm it down. And there's no better way to calm anything down than the overly excited way Jay says goodbye.
Bye.
And Bender,
hold on to your butts.
And we will play the music. We're done. That's it. No more. Is that the? I haven't watched. You talking about?